go to the Hard Rock Roxino Northfield Park Hotline. $250,000 Game Show Mania starts today at 2 o'clock only at Hard Rock Roxino Northfield Park. Matt Lodi standing by. Matt covers the Indians for a number of outlets. Matty, good morning. How are you, bud?
What up, Rizzy?
Matt, who do you, I know you write, you have your own website. Explain who you work for, though.
Well, my own website, it's neosportsinsiders.com. And also, I've been with the Associated Press now as the Indians guy since, 1998. Metro Networks Westwood One since 1999. And I think I met you about 1994, so it's been a couple years here.
No names, please, Matt.
No names, please.
No names.
Yeah, no names. Hey, can I tell Casey Coolis real quick something?
Yeah.
I know. I went to high school with Casey. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Casey, man up. All right, dude? We got in this business for a reason, all right? Quit
man,
being a baby.
I know. What I need is a pay-per-view. Maybe that'll put me in a better mood.
Well, I don't know, dude. The mean streets of Parma. You should know better than that.
That's
you
right.
You're
acting like
Matt.
You know what? You're acting like millennial Matt right now.
I sound like Fontana. Right. I'm well aware of that.
Matt, let me start with this because I think what everybody wants to know is Brantley and Gomes, two key parts. Right. They both are coming off injuries. Where am I with both right now, Matty?
Well, Brantley, you know, Riz, I mean, it's the right shoulder, as everybody knows, the arthroscopic surgery in November. It looks like it's going to be well past opening day. Right now, it looks like a situation where at the very earliest, you're probably going to see him is into May, maybe even June. Yan Gomes is on track, you know, that right knee injury he suffered in the home opener actually last year against Detroit. You know, they're counting on him to have a big bounce back season. He only hit 231, but it was one of those years, T, where he was just catching up the whole season because of the knee injury, and the Indians really need production from that position based on what Gomes showed him a couple years ago when he got that big contract. But, you know, right now, I think if there's still a trouble situation for this team, it's the outfield because you're running out guys like Colin Cowgill. You're running out Rajah Davis. You're running out, you know, Lonnie Chisenhall is still an unknown, even though he played well in the second half or late last year. You know, Abraham Almonte is penciled in as your starting day center fielder right now. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't want them to rush Michael Brantley back, and I'm sure you'll understand that, but at the same time, they really need this kid to be back and be back ready to go as soon as he is able. The good news on that is he did take part in some agility drills about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and you know, he's on track, let's put it that way. All those rumors back in December that he wasn't going to be back until August or anything, those don't appear to be true at all. I was at the winter meetings with the Indians, and a couple of the guys there, you know, front office people told us flat out that he is on track. So it does look like it's 5 to 6 months from November, which puts him in a uniform hopefully by May or June.
Matt Lodi is our guest.
And Matt, we know that the pitching staff is tremendous. But if they were to let someone go to acquire a bat, who do you envision that pitcher being from the starting rotation?
You know, Gerard, I mean, all along the rumors we kept hearing was Carlos Carrasco or Danny Salazar. I mean, Carrasco, you know, was 14-12 a year ago. He's clearly the number two in your rotation. Salazar was 14-10. I always thought if there was a guy that they would be willing to be expendable, it would be Danny Salazar, only because they just signed Carrasco to that really, really very good deal that they got him for a year ago. You know, Danny is still a young enough kid where he could bring a lot of trade value to you. But, you know, as Chernoff and those guys told us in Nashville at the winter meetings, and even Chris Antonetti, why would you trade a frontline starter that you're going to end up having to pay $15, $18, $20 million for down the road in order to acquire a bat who, you know, maybe wouldn't give you the same production as a younger player? So I understood their philosophy. I did feel like they really needed to upgrade one position, and that was third base. They didn't necessarily do it. I still think there's a chance they get Juan Uribe, but at the end of the day, I think that this rotation is set as Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar, Bauer, and that fifth spot, I think you're going to see Josh Tomlin and Cody Anderson, who both had really good years last year in relatively short spans, really play out for that fifth and starting rotation role. And don't forget about TJ House. I mean, he had a pretty bad year last year because of some injuries, but 2 years ago was 5-3. So I think the one thing that Terry Francona likes to do is he likes to have 6, 7, even 8 starters ready to go because, as we all know in baseball, you have injuries. And plus, it does make some of these other guys expendable. If this team gets off to a rough start, I'm sure that they will at least, in some regards, still look around out there at what's out there from an offensive standpoint. But unfortunately, where this team was in December at those winter meetings and even through the winter, they just couldn't find the right deal that they thought was worth it for a guy like Carlos Carrasco or Danny Salazar.
Maddie, real quick, Kluber, Carrasco, give me the order again. Kluber?
Yeah, Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar, Bauer, and I think it'll be Josh Tomlin, even though, again, Cody Anderson, who was 7-3 a year ago, right, definitely deserves a long look in Goodyear. But okay, Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar, Bauer, your top four, it's okay, not bad. I mean, Bauer was inconsistent. You know, but Danny and Carlos were 28 wins between the two of them, and we know what Corey Kluber can bring to the table. Had a rough start last year, didn't get any run support. I think he'll have a nice bounce back year.
Yeah, Matt, I'm with you on that. Matt, what was with Bauer last year, and are you confident he'll bounce back? He really finished the year in a giant funk, and that's my guy. I want to know what's wrong with T. Trevs.
Well, you know, some of it sometimes, T, is I think this kid just gets in his own head. I really do. I mean, you talk to him, he's very analytical. You know, we all know about his history with the workouts and the muscle memory things, and he talks about psychology and everything else. Sometimes I think he outthinks himself. And if there's one guy on this team, as far as from a coaching standpoint, other than Francona, that I'm a huge advocate for, it's Mickey Callaway, the pitching coach. I think he's done a fantastic job in his time here. I think he's been able to get most of these guys up to their potential, but Bauer is still that wild card. You know, he was 11-12 a year ago, and if you remember, ended the year in the bullpen, and it just wasn't – he wasn't the same guy he was early in the year. He needs better command of his fastball. He needs to be able to do more with his second and third pitches. And like I said, he needs to stay out of his own head sometimes. I think he just gets a little bit too caught up, and maybe it's off-the-field things, maybe it's things during a game. If you look at Trevor Bauer's numbers, he always has one bad inning, and it's that one bad inning that seems to send him spiraling. If he can get through that one bad inning, maybe with just one run instead of four, he ends up having good starts. But if he gives up a couple of runs, he just seems to never get out of that funk. And that's a sign of a young player. You know that, Tony. I mean, that's how it goes in baseball. But they do expect still this kid to have good things, and I know Francona and the staff was somewhat frustrated with him late last year, but they feel that an offseason of getting things back to normal with him will get him back on the right track.
Matt Lodi is our guest. Matt, the Mike Napoli, Rajah Davis signings, I know it didn't make, you know, major headlines, but I like Napoli. That dude's a gamer, right? Were those guys, Matt, how much were those signings clubhouse signings? And not that they're not going to play on the field, but those are two pretty good clubhouse guys.
Yeah, they are, T. I mean, they're two veteran guys. I mean, what they're hoping with Napoli, of course, is that he's more of the guy that they saw late last year when he got traded from Boston to Texas. He hit .295 after that deal. He only hit .224 in the year and really struggled in Boston, but that whole Boston team really didn't play well last year. You know, they're hoping he's a guy that can play first base and DH every day. I mean, that's what they signed him for. They didn't sign him, like you said, to kind of sit the bench. Rajah Davis, same thing. I mean, this is not going to knock your socks off with the numbers. Hit 8 home runs, 30 RBI last year. Had 51 runs batted in a year before that. You know, 250, 260 batter. Again, right now, the way it stands is he's going to have to play a lot because of the Brantley injury. I mean, you could see this guy potentially 4 or 5 days a week, just depending on how fast Michael comes back. You know, they needed some veteran guys to take over for guys like Rayburn and Avilas. Those are the two big guys that, you know, are obviously were the clubhouse guys, if you will. The other guy that's sort of in the mix is the guy they signed during the winter meetings, Joey Butler, who played for Tampa Bay last year. He's going to get some looks, but again, a guy that's never had more than 257 at-bats in one season. So I think those three guys, and again, Colin Cowgill, who I mentioned earlier on, only a 188 batter, got him from cash from Anaheim. Same thing. They're hoping that between all of these guys, they can have an assemblance of an outfield, first of all, and kind of make up for those guys they lost, like, again, Mike Avilas, Rayburn, those guys, those veteran guys that Francona always loves to have in that clubhouse.
And, Matt, with Mark Shapiro, or Shapiro, however you say it, being in Toronto.
It's Shapiro.
Chernoff and Antonetti, will they have a chance to make their own stamp on this team, or will it be a continuation because of issues like finances or whatnot?
Well, you know, Gerard, I mean, we know the market we're in, and I think the blueprint for success starts with this rotation. I don't think there's any question if this team is going to contend. And, you know, it's interesting. I kind of looked at the numbers earlier when I knew we were going to chat about it. You know, this is an Indians team that over the last 3 years has won 258 games. I mean, 81 a year ago, 85 the year before that, and 92 the year before that. The one thing that's interesting is that they have gone through this restructuring with, you know, Mike, with Cherney coming in, with Antonetti still being a big presence, but, you know, with Mark not being there, I think it's business as usual. I got to be honest. I don't foresee the philosophy changing. And they talked a lot about that in Nashville at those meetings, that it wasn't like they were going to automatically go in totally different directions. But what I think they've got to continue to incorporate is trying to find, and we've known this about the Indians since probably, what, late 90s, when things started to wind down from those Lofton and Bell teams and Baergas, is they got to find the diamonds in the roughs. They've got to have a Mike Napoli come in and have a big year. They got to have Rajah Davis not come in and bat 215. You know, Jason Kipnis needs to do what he does. Brantley needs to recover from injury. And let's not forget about that 22-year-old kid at shortstop who hit 313 a year ago. I mean, all things have to kind of come together. We've seen it happen in Kansas City. I think that's sort of the blueprint for success here, is that that starting rotation has to be good, but you're never going to go out and spend $20 million on a guy. It's just not – in this market, it's just not going to happen. I know it frustrates fans to no end, but that's just the economic climate, and they have put so much money, as you guys know, into revamping that stadium to make it more, quote-unquote, fan-friendly, and people really responded well to that a year ago, that they're hoping that that translates into more attendance this year. And, you know, maybe there will be some disposable income down the road for a deal at maybe the trade deadline, or, you know, maybe to sign somebody after this season. But, you know, I will say this. They looked. They definitely looked. I know the Todd Frazier thing was legitimate at one point. You know, there were all kinds of names being thrown around, but as Gerard, you asked earlier on, they just were not willing to trade one of those two frontline guys like a Carrasco or a Salazar to get a guy that might come in and be successful, or a guy maybe that wouldn't be successful. And that's the stance they took, and that's how they're going to roll with this thing.
Matt Lodi is our guest. He covers the Indians for a number of media outlets, including his own website, which we'll plug here in a minute. Matt, you mentioned the 22-year-old that hit 313. What can I expect in Indians fans out of Francisco Lindor with him breaking spring training as the starting shortstop?
Well, I think the one thing, T, and you know this, you've covered this thing enough for years and years, you can't expect this kid to basically duplicate what he did a year ago or to even necessarily build on it. I think the one thing about Francisco that's so good about a young player is he stays pretty humble. He's not a kid that's going to get full of himself, but you can't, you know, seasons change, and you can't expect this kid to hit 313, 315, and have this many home runs. He had 12 home runs, which I think was kind of the big surprise, 12 stolen bases. If you told me right now over the course of 160-some games, if this kid would hit 280, 10 home runs, 60 RBIs, and 20 steals, and play the shortstop that this team needs,
with his
I would take that.
Yeah.
I would take that in a heartbeat. I don't think you can get too ahead of yourself. And I know Terry Francona, every time we talked to him about Francisco last year, always would preface it with saying he's a young kid, give him some time to develop. You know, I mean, can the kid hit 300? We saw it last year. But the one guy that Francona always equated Francisco to back in the days back in Boston was Dustin Pedroia. And that's exciting, because if you can get a Dustin Pedroia type of numbers and type of players out of a Francisco Lindor, you'll take him for the next 10 years. But I'm saying don't get too ahead of yourself. If, like I said, if the kid can hit 280, 285 and just not have a severe sophomore slump, I think there's exciting times ahead. And he's the real deal. I think we saw that last year. He is an incredibly good player who I think is going to be, along with Jason Kipnis and hopefully Brantley when he gets over this issue with the shoulder, be the three faces of the franchise.
Matt, last year at this time, everyone was in love with the Tribe. We had people saying they're going to win the World Series, represent the
sure.
American League in the World Series. As you observe this team throughout the course of last season, do you think that got to their heads early on and that they got crowned and they accepted and go out there and do the things necessary, obviously, to prove that point? And do you think they're over that and that they're ready actually to prove themselves on the field this year?
Well, again, Gerard, I think a lot of this had to do – it was almost like two completely different seasons a year ago. I mean, look at the lineup opening day. Look at the thinking that they thought they were going to get stuff from Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne and, you know, Rayburn and Avilas. I mean, there was a kind of a veteran-laden team at the beginning of last year. And by the time that they kind of blew this thing up in July, it completely turned around. You know, Giovanni Urshela came up. And, yeah, he didn't have a huge year at the plate, but he gave some stability at third base. You know, Lonnie Chisenhall going to right field. Lindor obviously had a huge second half. Kipnis played better in the second half. I think that last year, yeah, did the preseason hoopla get to them? I think that's safe to say. But they got off to such a slow start. I mean, we've seen it year after year with this organization. They can't afford to get off to a start where they look up at the end of April and are already 5 or 6 games out of first place, or, you know, or 7, 8, 9 games under 500. They've got to get off to a better start. I think that, you know, I don't know what the philosophy necessarily in Goodyear will be as far as from, you know, Terry Francona from year 3 to year 4. Are things going to change with workouts? Are things going to change with the coaching staff and how they do things? But I will say this, they will put an emphasis on making sure that the thing that happened last year, which I think was getting a little bit too over their heads early on with all these prognosticators saying they're going to win the World Series, isn't going to happen again. I still think they need to play better at home. They were actually under 500 at home a year ago, which is not good. They were 39-41 at Progressive Field. And I think they need to get off to a better offensive start. And that's hard to do when you play in a quote-unquote cold weather climate like Cleveland. But, you know, again, we looked through the numbers earlier with Kluber and those guys. I mean, he had a bad year, but, you know, his ERA was under 4, but he still only won 9 games, and a lot of that has to do with the lack of offensive production.
Man, I know that the fast start thing has been a point of contention over the past couple of years. Tito's really downplayed it, but boy, Matty, is it as simple as it seems? If the Indians could just play 500 or better to start the first 2 months, they'd have a lot better shot at postseason.
I mean, Tia, I don't know how you can deny it. I mean, it goes back to Eric Wedge, it goes to Manny Acta, and now it goes, of course, to Terry Francona. The one season that Acta got him off to the incredibly hot start, they were 30-15, and people were printing playoff tickets. They thought, this is it, this is the year, and then they kind of fell apart. They had a ton of injuries that year, too, of course, and they just kind of fell apart. I think with Francona, you know, he's such a stabilizing force as far as that from the managerial position. He's so good, and he knows how to manipulate these guys into playing so well and being a team. I mean, really, truly being a team. I'm not even saying you have to get off to a phenomenal start. I just say be 500. You know, I think when you look at the last couple of Aprils, the fact that this team, you know, they you know, maybe they go 2-4 out of the gate, and then all of a sudden you look up and they're 4-9, you know, 5-12, and that really is what starts the ball rolling in the wrong direction. And we saw it manifest last year, and it was the reason why this team went out in July and traded guys. Sapchinski got traded, Swisher got moved, Bourne got moved. All these guys were getting moved because they knew that at that point they really had nothing left to lose. Let's bring up the young kids. And by the time they were able to do that, it turned them around. I'm interested to see with a younger team, with Lindor, with Urshela, again with Chisenhall, with this uncertainty with the outfield because of Brantley's injury, how much of a faster start they get off to. Let's hope that, again, 500, that would probably be great based on how this thing has gone the last couple of years out of the gate in April.
Did you mentioned Urshela. Matt, is he going to be the third baseman?
I do think so. I said a little bit earlier, you know, Juan Uribe is one name that we keep hearing over and over as possibly coming in. But right now, T, he's the guy. You know, he played
because of his defense, right? Because of his
I mean, the problem is the stick. He only batted .225 in 81 games. They need more out of him. And, you know, as good as Lindor was, and as you don't want to preface it by saying he's going to go hit .313 again, I think you can expect more from Urshela. I really do. I think, you know, if you could get a .250 season out of him, maybe 15, 18 home runs at that position, you know how it is in the American League, T. You can't have a guy playing third base that's going to hit .220 and hit 5 home runs. You need to guy that's your power position, just like at the first base side. So, yeah, they need more production. But right now, as it stands, he's the guy as far as opening day is concerned. Again, it would not surprise me if they do bring in a veteran. I mean, they're due to report, what, in 11 days, 10 days, whatever it might be. So they're going to still continue to look out there as far as bringing in a veteran guy that not necessarily could play every day, but at least can give Gio some support at third.
But you mentioned the outfield, Matt. If you right now, I mean, without Michael Bourne and without, you know, without
Michael Brantley,
Brantley and Bourne, the Indians have an outfield that hit 20 home runs last year.
Yeah, so, and that's a major
concern. So you're gonna give me a third baseman who hit .208, by the way, in the second half of the season.
Right, right.
Without any power. I mean, Matt, we've got to have power somewhere, man. You know, I
well, yeah, again, Santana's got to be better.
Matt, I want to say this, and I, you know, it's real hard for me because, you know, Carlos is a really nice kid. He really is. But, you know, this is the year that I have to see something out of him or we're going to move on. Matt, his long swing is just, he strikes out too much. I'm so tired of hearing he walks. Who gives a crap? I need guys to move base runners. Is this his last year and the contract, and where are we with Carlos Santana?
Well, again, 19 homers a year ago, 85 runs batted in 100 walks. It's good numbers on paper, but the inconsistencies of this kid is just ridiculous. And I know how frustrating it is from the coaching standpoint of this team and how much they want to see him play better. But, you know, what they're going to try to do, I think, T, is they're going to move him more to DH, let Napoli play first, let him concentrate on what he does at the plate more so than trying to worry about playing a defensive position. I think they think that some of the things they've done with him this offseason, some of the workouts, and then, of course, as I said, not necessarily having the stress of playing a position at first base they hope will help him. Last season, I mean, is it going to be his last season? I can't necessarily say it will be because this team still needs guys that can hit the ball out of the park. And I know, again, 19 isn't exactly, you know, Albert Pujols in his prime numbers, but you still need guys that can hit the ball out of the park. I think that's why they bought in Napoli. I think that's why they're hoping Yan Gomes will have a much bigger year. And Jason Kipnis, too. I mean, they need the guys that we know the names of already that are going to be in the lineup from day one to hit the baseball better. Kipnis, Gomes, Santana, Napoli, Lindor, those five guys right there have got to do well when they're in the lineup on a daily basis. And then when Michael Brantley comes back, he can't, you know, it's going to be tough. They can't afford to bring this guy back too early if they get off to a slow start, because you may be in the tailspin you were a year ago with a guy like Yan Gomes who hit .231. And, you know, Michael Brantley's only 28 years old. You don't want him to come back and either re-injure that shoulder or have a bad year just because you tried to get him in there too early. But I know your frustration with Santana. I've heard it from a number of people. They're hoping that some of these other factors will be better for him to have a much more successful year. I mean, he needs to hit 25 home runs. That's the bottom line. And he needs to hit better from the right side of the plate, too. That's all there is to it.
And, Matt, you mentioned earlier that last season was a tale of two seasons, and I felt that it became really evident once Swisher and Bourne were gone.
Mm-hmm.
During that process, who, in your opinion, emerged as leaders? Because I have a hard time identifying who are the leaders of this baseball team.
Well, there's no question, Gerard. It was Kipnis, Brantley, and Kluber. I mean, those three guys really took over the locker room, and you wouldn't expect it out of a Corey Kluber. We've known him for a while. He's a very quiet guy, but and even Brantley. I mean, none of those guys are super outspoken. Mm-hmm. I think of the three, Kipnis is the guy that would not be afraid to get in front of a television camera or whatever and say what he thinks. But Brantley and Kluber, I mean, this is where the franchise is being built on, is a stud starting pitcher who's a Cy Young Award winner, a good infielder in Kipnis who's been here and has been loyal to this organization, and Michael Brantley, you know, let's face it, Michael Brantley's still only 28 years old. You know, you hope he's here for the next 5-10 years and healthy. But there's no question that the Swisher and Bourne thing, I think, I don't want to say it scared the Indians off from going after big free agents, but it certainly didn't help. I mean, they really put their butts on the line by going out and getting these two guys 3 years ago, thinking that these were the guys that were going to start the rebuild of this organization under Francona. They weren't going to be around for 20 years. There was no question. But just to come in and be productive, and the fact that both guys did really, let's just be honest, nothing in their time here as far as from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, Bourne played a decent center field every once in a while, but he got hurt all the time. I mean, Tony, you'll remember this. It goes back to the Keith Hernandez signing of, what, 1987 or something like that? I mean, it was just, you know, that's the kind of free agent bust that this organization can't afford to have because they don't have the disposable income to go out and spend all this type of money on big-name players. So they're going to try to do what they've tried to do the last couple of years, build with guys like Brantley, Kipnis, Kluber, and, of course, guys like Carrasco, and now Francisco Lindor has got to be added in that mix as well.
You know, it is a little frustrating, though, Matt. A lot of people feel like if the ownership would just, you know, would just put out a little – we're not asking to be the Tigers or anything, but
– right.
You know, find a bat that's, you know, for $10, $12 million a year and throw them in there and let's see what happens. I know that's not the Indian way, but, you know, when you see what Detroit does and even Kansas City, for goodness sakes, the defending champs, they're in your division. It's going to be awful difficult. Matt, let me get to this. Hey, Riz, tell Matt Lodi, the 99 Parma senior high basketball team says hello. He was our PA announcer.
PA announcer, right.
That is from Ryan in Independence.
Wow.
old school.
And somebody wants me to ask you about a possible Bauer for Dalton Pompey trade with Toronto.
Ooh,
Pompey.
Wow. I think Bauer's still got too much upside. I mean, you know, again, he right now is your fourth starter on this team and 11 wins a year ago. I don't think I would move him unless you're going to get a frontline guy that could start every single day and hit the ball with some power. And I don't know. I don't like the thought process of move. I still agree with Chernoff and Antonetti. I don't want to move a pitcher just for the sake of moving a pitcher. I think you need to get at least one, if not two, major league ready players that are going to play almost on a daily basis. I mean, again, if a Carlos Carrasco was going to be a free agent like right now, 14 wins, an ERA under 4, $18 million, $15 million, based on how the baseball market seems to play out, the Indians could never afford that. Right. So they've got to be realistic when they say to themselves, what do we need to get in return before we go out and move one of our top two or three starters? It's just, I don't see the value in that. I'd rather keep the starters because at the end of the day, this team is built on pitching, and they saw it a couple years ago when they won 92 games. They were doing it, you know, pretty much through pitching. And I think that if they're going to be a contender, they're going to have to score 4 runs a game, and they're going to have to get big years out of those 4 guys, Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar, and Bauer.
Matt, great stuff. Can we count on you this year, Matt Lodi?
We've known each other 25 years. I'm there whenever you need me.
That's perfect, babe. I love it. I'm actually, we're heading out. We're going to shoot some Rizzo show out in spring training, which I really look forward to. I noticed, too, the Indians have a new jersey for spring training. It looks almost black.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. I saw that at they're advertising it at the team shop. Yeah. I know they saw the hats, too. So something a little different for the kids to try on.
Yeah, I like it. I want to get one. Matt, also, today's truck day. I had to have you on. And today is the day the truck goes out to Arizona, spring training. It makes the 4 or 5 day trek out to Goodyear. The Indians spring training will start in a couple weeks, and we'll actually be out there as well in March. Matt, thanks so much. Say hi to your old family for me, buddy.
You got it, Rizzy. God bless you, Gerard, the whole crew.
Matt, what is the website again?
It's neosportsinsiders.com. NEO, Northeast Ohio, sportsinsiders.com.
All right, Matt. Thank you.
Thanks, Riz.
All right, there he is, Matt Lodi.